At the beginning of the year, the FBI announced that there were open investigations into supporters of the self-proclaimed Islamic State, or ISIS, being conducted in all 50 states. Nearly every month seems to bring new cases and new arrests. Just this week, police officers in Boston shot and killed a man they say was a religious extremist. They say he was radicalized by following ISIS on the internet. So how big is the ISIS problem in the U.S.? We wanted to try to quantify it. NPR has been compiling all the known U.S. cases with an ISIS link and analyzed them. NPR's counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston is here to discuss what we discovered. Dina, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Dina, give us an idea of the scope of the ISIS problem in the United States.
Well, the FBI director, James Comey, was the one who said at the beginning of the year that there was an open ISIS investigation in every single state. And that's what really generated this analysis. While it seems there are new cases almost every week, in fact, there are only 65 people who've been formally charged with some sort of ISIS-related crime over the last couple of years. And those cases are in just 17 of the states. Now, it's possible that there are some other cases that are still under seal, and that's why we haven't heard about them. But still, the number of states that have actually had enough evidence to bring a case is still relatively small.
Are there particular ethnic groups traveling to meet up with ISIS or people who are from particular regions?
I think what surprised me most about the data was that the people who are suspected of having wanted to travel to Syria to join ISIS really defy any sort of categorization. They come from a range of cultural, ethnic, educational, and even religious backgrounds. In Colorado, the only ISIS cases we know about involve teenage women. In Minnesota, 16 young men have been charged, and nearly every one of them is a Somali in his 20s.
16 from Minnesota. Why is that?
Well, the Twin Cities has a bit of history with these so-called travelers. Starting back in 2006, a lot of young men from the Somali community began traveling to Somalia to fight with a group there called Al-Shabaab. And at that time, the motivation was to go there to fight an invading Ethiopian force. Some returned, some were jailed, and some stayed in Somalia and now have reached back to cousins or school buddies in the Twin Cities and have encouraged them to join ISIS instead of Shabaab. So that's why the Minnesota numbers are so big.
So what was the biggest takeaway from the analysis?
I think the biggest takeaway for me was how few of these cases actually talk about attacking the U.S. directly. The case this week, of course, was about killing police, but that's an unusual one. The people who've been going to Syria have been talking about fighting for Muslims, about battling the Syrian regime or marrying a good Muslim. The fight is about what's going on there in Syria and in Iraq.
So when you say the U.S. isn't a target, you're saying it doesn't sound like what we've been hearing about, say, Al-Qaeda.
Exactly. When you look at the Al-Qaeda cases, the centerpiece of most of those cases that the FBI brings is terrorism, attacks against the West, attacks against iconic U.S. targets. These cases, at least so far, are really different from that. Law enforcement is picking up most of these suspects at airports as they're boarding flights on trips that will eventually take them to Syria, and they're hoping to go there to live. It just has a much less sinister tenor than the terrorism cases that we're used to. And I think law enforcement is coming around to the view that these so-called travelers aren't going to Syria to become terrorists. It's just a lot more complicated than that.
NPR's counterterrorism correspondent, Dina Temple-Raston. Dina, thank you.
You're welcome.
And if you'd like to see the full list of Americans accused of supporting or accused of planning to join ISIS, you can visit npr.org.